Chicago, guess what? It is Friday, July the 29th, is that right? 2016, and Taking Limits Off is on the air live from your West Side Studios, located on the third floor of Kingdom Missionary Baptist Church. We have an outstanding show for you on today. On today, man, we got a great, great topic. It's called, this is Praise Break Friday. Y'all know that it's Praise Break Friday. We're going to get our praise on real, real quick. But today's topic is the priority of praise, the priority of praise. Man, in the studio, as always, it's your boy, host, Ms. Daniel King, alongside, guess who's back, y'all? Guess who's back in the house? The one and the only, my good, good buddy, my brother in ministry, Pastor Devon Winder. How are you, sir?
I'm good, man. How's it going?
Yo, his voice still works on the air, y'all. Ain't God good? Ain't he good? Well, it's good to see you, man.
Man, likewise.
As you supposed to come back with that old church answer. It's good to be seen. Glad I woke up on this side and not on the cooling board. Yeah, too much.
Yeah.
Way too much. But as always, y'all, hey, we got this great show. But let me give you the rundown on how you can contact the show. If you're already listening on the line, meaning you've already called in, simply push 1 and you can be a part of the show. If you are already listening via Blog Talk Radio, simply dial area code 347-934-0546. Again, that's area code 347-934-0546. If you're on social media, so are we. Simply go to our Facebook page. That's facebook.com/TTLO radio. Again, that's facebook.com/TTLO radio, and you can be a part of the show. If you're on Twitter, so are we. Simply go to our Facebook page. Twitter. It is at TTLO Radio. You can tweet the show at TTLO Radio. We'd love to read your tweet on the air. If you want to email the show, email us at takingthelimitsoff@comcast.net. takingthelimitsoff@comcast.net. We'd love to have you on the show as well there. If you want to watch the show, the live simulcast of the show is up and running. Ustream is up and running. We are live. What's up, y'all? On the stream, Ustream is up and running. Just simply go to ustream.tv, do a search for Taking the Limits Off with Dana and Devon, and you will find us there. Facebook Live, up and running. Man, got so many ways you can get to that. Facebook Live, up right now. You can go to Taking the Limits Off, facebook.com/TTLO radio. You can watch it there. You can watch it from my personal page. You can go to Devon's page. That's at Devon Winder. You can go to the NOC page. I tagged everybody in it because I knew you was going to be here. So you can go to all the pages, and you can watch us any of those meetings. We'll have the comments. We'll be up and running. So we'd be glad to definitely hear from you all there as well. And last but not least, iTunes. Go to iTunes. For those of you with the Apple devices, you know, with them Apple, the MacBooks and iPads and iPhones and iDis and all that, simply go to your iTunes section of your iTunes, go to the podcast section rather, and do a search for Taking the Limits Off with Dana and Devon. And man, we'd be happy that you would subscribe to that. It don't cost you a dime. Doesn't cost you a dime to do it. So we'll be glad to have you be a part of the show that way as well. So look here, man, good to have you in the studio, Doc.
Oh, man, it's good to be here.
Man, how you been? Good, you know, to be here. As I explained to the people, because I know they probably was like, the show was going, y'all done changed the time, you had nobody here, all kind of stuff. I explained to people, Devon fits the category of what we call a bivocational pastor.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And the reason that happens is because in a lot of cases, churches don't have the means to support financially, quote unquote, a pastor, his family, or whatever else that's going on. So in cases like that, you have to have a job, another job. And sometimes the other job is what's actually feeding the family. So one way or the other. So, man, what's going on with you, Doc?
Oh, man. I got the day off.
I see.
You know, day off, kind of day off. You
uh-huh.
know, so I'll be making a quick stop after I leave here to handle some business. But, man, work, that's what's been going on. And so scheduling, I've shifted jobs.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
I'm with a different company.
Okay.
Training for a supervisor position.
Okay.
And, so now I'm that 9-to-6 guy.
Yeah. You got them good old regular hours.
Yeah.
Them regular people hours. I've never actually had those hours in my life.
Really?
I mean, seriously, like never.
What, afternoon.
I've always had that second, third shift kind of thing. I've never actually worked. I'm trying to think, like ever. No.
Wow.
I've never worked eight to, you know, the whole 8 to 5, 9 to 5. No. If it was, it was temporary. It was never on, you know, it was never on purpose.
Right.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, that's, man. All right. Okay. Well,
that is. Yeah. And trust me, it is training for real. So, I'm thankful. Just want to thank God for the opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
As I've been saying, and I'll continue to say it, I don't even deserve it.
Wow.
You know,
wow.
I don't deserve it. And it's something I had to wait for, and I didn't even know that I would be even elevated to that position.
Wow.
So I really, when I walked in for the interview, the guy said, I'm looking for a supervisor.
Wow.
And so, you know, and then it took a little while. I think it maybe even took three weeks, 4 weeks for that whole ordeal to kind of take shape. And I had been telling people at the other gig, like, you know, if this is it, I'm out of here, y'all.
Right, right.
So,
and it worked out.
Yeah.
It worked out.
Yeah.
And I'm glad you said that, because you kept yourself in position. That's the thing you cannot do when you're asking God to do something in your life. The worst thing we could do is to ask God to do something, but then fall out of position to be ready to get it when he's ready for you to move.
Yeah.
Because you could have did some stuff. You could have went somewhere else. You could have and you know, taken another job somewhere else where you wouldn't have even been able to get time for the interview or any other type of circumstance. So, man, you just have to be ready when the time comes. So that's good stuff, man. That's good.
And that's one thing that I just continue to say. And so for me, I think it's a season even for other people. If you don't recognize what God is doing in your life, look at where he's positioning you where you don't deserve to be.
Ah, my God.
You
ain't got to tell me.
And so, you know, just with that alone, it tells you God is ordering your footsteps. And God is placing you in a position to be of influence,
right?
Of inspiration.
Mm-hmm.
And not only that, but to advance the kingdom for his glory.
Yeah.
And so I said, now look at this. And it's something that I talk about, you know, when I'm ministering, is that if we take care of God's business first, he has always promised to take care of
us. You're absolutely right about
that. Promotion doesn't come from the east or the west.
Come on now.
Man, it comes from the Lord. And, you know, I'm a testimony to that today. You know, it's so amazing what God is doing. Even me being able to minister to the church, I don't even belong to be in that position as well.
Okay.
You know,
that's good.
And I don't take that for granted. And so I'm thankful every day knowing that God said, look, I'll still use you in spite of your imperfections.
Yeah. Yeah.
And whatever I want to accomplish in you, I'll still do it as long as you stay humble.
That's it.
You know what I mean?
That's it.
Don't lay your imperfections on the altar. Don't ever forget that you have them, like Paul had to remember the thorn in his side.
Yeah.
So he said, look, and not only that, and I believe God allowed me to have it so it would keep me humble.
Wow.
That's what he said. He said, I know that this is something, and God has allowed this thing to stay so it would keep me humble, because I've experienced God in a way that most people will never, ever experience God. And so I don't want to be boastful about that. And so God made sure that he humbled me to make sure that I never forget that I'm just like the common man or woman walking around.
Wow.
Yes, sir.
That's good stuff. That's good. That's interesting you say that, because that's when you talked about David and Paul. I actually used David as part of my eulogy on Wednesday. When David asked God, I think it was Psalm 39, around 4, he said, Lord, show me the number of my days. He asked him, because he said, let me know how fleeting life is. So I know. So that way, at least I'm living in my purpose.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's good stuff. Man. That's humility, though, too.
Yeah.
That is.
Yeah.
That's not, because see here, and this is the thing about being humble, because, you know, it's easy to get, when things start working out in your favor, it's easy to get a little bit big headed.
It's
easy to fall into that premise of getting a little big headed. And the thing I learned about humility is this: if you stay humble, when bad stuff happens, it doesn't destroy you.
Yeah, that's true.
It's just like here, you know, it's like we had for instance, during the show, the whole show went off. The internet, everything went off in the whole church, because the area, Comcast went out in this whole area.
Wow.
Yeah. So literally we were like 25, 27 minutes in, and I had nothing. So I'm running. So literally I was able to put some music on. So people who were online were able to still hear music.
Okay.
So we were able to do that. So I'm running around the church. You know, I literally left.
Trying to figure it out.
Right, because I knew I wasn't on camera nowhere, so couldn't nobody see me leave. So I got up, music playing. I'm running up and down the stairs trying to see, thinking something came loose, somebody that did something, and nothing. So finally found out I was like, you know what? Humility allowed me to say, you know, that's why when stuff happens, I don't get too high, I don't get too low.
Yeah.
Because that way, when stuff happens, it's like, okay. Hey, it's still good.
Yeah, that is true.
It's still good.
That is true.
Because if you allow yourself to get so high and mighty, thinking I'm all this and all that, and then all of a sudden you get that dose of reality, and all of a sudden you're like, I'm done.
Yeah.
You want to quit. You want to, yeah. See, so you got to keep yourself, humbled, and that's a good thing.
Yeah, I call it that happy medium place.
Yeah.
You know, because oftentimes people ask me certain things, especially like if, you know, things are going well, mm-hmm. if something happens, something mm-hmm. grand happens, mm-hmm. and they ask me, you know, how do you feel?
Right.
Or, you know, what do you think about this? My most common answer is, it's cool.
Really?
It's cool. You know.
I was going to come back with a line right then, but it really ain't appropriate. This is line from the Nutty Professor, yeah. But I don't use it right now, but it's cool.
It's cool. You know, and I like to kind of stay there. Like there is joy, there is excitement, but also on the other end, I know that things can happen.
Yeah,
life happens, and God will allow you to experience life. The moment you forget
mm-hmm.
the world that we live in, the spiritual fight that we have, mm-hmm. and so you know, maintaining that balance, knowing these things mentally, knowing these things spiritually, you know, it keeps us grounded, man. So like you said, when the craziness happens, when you know, somebody at the bottom of your tree while you at the top,
right.
chopping you down.
Right.
You know, when the tree is knocked down, you still got to get up and love the person who chopped your tree down.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, the haters or whatever the situation might be. And so, you know, I'm just thankful and humbled to be back in the studio. That was one of the first things I thought about when he told me. I'm telling you, man, it's just God's favor. You know, I'm here, but I'm still on the clock because I'm getting paid for being here, and I'm still on probation. The favor of God, you know what I mean?
Hey, you got to tell me. You know?
And as I said before, I don't deserve it, but I know that God is strategically doing something. And I go back to this. When I was offered a position to go and pastor in St. Louis, I turned it down because God told me to stay here.
Mm-hmm.
And so in staying here, God, mm-hmm. you know my needs. You know everything that needs to take place
mm-hmm.
for your kingdom. And so I just need to figure out what your blueprint is
mm-hmm.
so I could find myself rolling it out and saying, here's what God said we should do next. Here's what God said is saying we're going.
Mm-hmm.
How do we know this?
Mm-hmm.
He's doing it in our hearts first.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
where the blueprint
yeah.
is being written. That's where the blueprint is being spoken to, is to our hearts. And so, and from that, we start to live out that blueprint.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, you know, oftentimes people try to open up the scriptures to try to find it. The scriptures are simply confirmation to what God is already speaking to your heart.
Oh, wow. That's good stuff. I'm looking at this. I'm trying to figure out, okay, so I guess I've never paid this any attention. So on Facebook Live, thank you, LaTanya, because I've never paid this any attention. Apparently on the Facebook Live, on the camera up there, we're being shown the banner is showing up backwards.
Oh yeah,
because we look
sure
fine.
Is. Yeah,
yeah, it's always been that way though on Facebook Live. Like I've never paid any attention because I'm looking at Ustream and Ustream is showing it.
Yeah,
but Ustream has actually got it backwards.
But we're showing.
I don't know. I ain't do nothing funny with the camera, so I don't know. I can't.
We need to talk Facebook Live.
It's Facebook Live, dog. Because I ain't changed nothing on the camera. So y'all reading this, y'all can't see the y'all reading the banner backwards. She's saying it's never been that way on Facebook Live. Okay, well, we have to go back and look at some of the old videos because I don't know.
It's some strange things that take place.
I haven't done anything.
We're in the temple.
Hey, we are in the upper room, so ain't no telling what's going on. I ain't made no changes. I just put the phone up, hit the live button. So anyway, man, it's been so much going on. So, man, I have to send some condolences out real quick, man. So you guys know, I told you guys I did this funeral on Wednesday. Get my days okay. Right. On Wednesday, did the funeral for Sidney Murray, a brother of a friend of mine, longtime friend of mine, Reggie Murray. His mother, Gwen, grew up with them all on the block over there on Wilcox.
Mm-hmm.
Did the funeral for that young man. He was 31 years old, married, 3 kids.
Wow.
Or whatever. Again, Reggie's brother. So I'm like, good. I'm like, everything went well once again. We did a yesterday. I get this note from Reggie again on yesterday, and Reggie puts this post up yesterday, and he says, "I buried my brother yesterday, and then I get home from the burial and get a call that my godson was shot in the head."
Wow.
So you bury your brother on one day, and the same day, you get a phone call saying that your godson had been killed. So it is crazy. It is crazy.
Absolutely.
I'm at a loss right now. I don't even know how to respond to some of that. So it's unfortunate. It's sad. But it's just, man, it's so much going on. So much going on.
Yeah, man, our hearts go out to those families, to him. And,
yeah, yeah.
You know,
Demetra Bradley is a longtime friend of mine. Actually, it was funny. And it's funny, Demetra and I were not friends. She was a friend of an ex-girlfriend of mine from years ago.
Okay.
And you know how you date somebody and it's that one girlfriend don't like you? So she was that person. After we grew up, we was cool. But, you know, she... But it was unfortunately her son. So
wow.
I sent prayers out to that family, and man, that's crazy, man. It really is. So definitely want to keep them in our prayers. And man, and once again, Demetra, she's also what used to watch the show when we go Facebook Live. So anything you need us to do, need me to do, whatever, you know, just let us know.
Yeah, definitely.
Just let us know. So
it's craziness, man.
Yeah,
it's and it won't let up, man. And that's the thing. While us who are, you know, living out this life for Christ, we have to take it serious because people are dying every single day.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
So there's no need to be passive. We got to be aggressive.
Right.
We're getting out in these streets, you know, sharing the gospel, you know, being a resource to our communities. And so, you know, even in times like this, you know, if things were much more organized within the body of Christ, you know, even if people are members or aren't members, there's still somebody in the local area that can go out and reach out to that family.
Right.
Help them through the process.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So, man, look here, man. So much going on. So I don't know if you've been, have you been keeping up with the Democratic National? Did you watch any of the RNC beforehand? I know
no,
you probably didn't even
didn't
watch that at all.
Right.
So what about the DNC?
No, I didn't get a chance to see that.
One
no.
Either? Okay. So just real quick, just the contrast, and I mentioned this on Wednesday briefly, the contrast of the RNC doom and gloom from their 4 days of convention, how the world was coming to an end, the planet was going to blow up, and if y'all don't elect Donald Trump, he's the only person in the world that can save this country and all that. Good stuff.
Oh.
That was them. So then you get the Democrats who are on the other side. It's interesting because normally you would think normally it's the liberals who don't really go into the whole we just need to have some faith type conversations.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, Michelle Obama gave an amazing speech. When you get a chance, it's a good 20 minutes you'll appreciate.
Okay.
She gave an amazing speech about, you know, from her beginnings up until, you know, the fact that, you know, as a little, you know, the fact that she gets to wake up in the morning in a house that was built by slaves, she just and you know, she doesn't take that for granted, you know. So
yeah.
So I brought that part up because y'all know who Bill O'Reilly is from Fox News.
Lord.
Bill O'Reilly. I'm gonna try not to do nothing ignorant. Bill O'Reilly from Fox News. And I intentionally did not load the clip because I ain't want no problems because, you know, they might say we illegally use their clip, so I ain't want no problems from Mr. O'Reilly. But Bill O'Reilly made this comment. He did this whole thing about fact-checking because he wanted to know whether or not, you know, the White House was actually built by slaves. Because he thought maybe, I'm assuming he thought she was making that part up or something. I don't know what he thought. So he says, he said this on his show Tuesday, that slaves who toiled, from 1792 built the White House. But this is what he said. He said those slaves, watch this now, were well fed.
Yeah, that's what he said.
Well fed and had
decent
lodging. Well fed and had decent lodging is what he said.
Let me excuse the part
about the slaves.
That they were slaves.
Yeah, because he says slaves who toiled from 1792 to 800 to build the White House were well fed and had decent lodging. Now let me get down to the gist of his point, because I don't want y'all to think I was taking him out of context. He says slaves, this is his exact words now, slaves did participate in the construction of the White House. So he's already agreed to the fact that slaves participate in construction. He says, noting that the federal government made nearly 400 payments, watch this now, to slave masters.
Not to slaves.
To slave masters in the construction of the executive mansion. In addition, he added, free blacks, whites, and immigrants also worked on the massive building, he said. Michelle Obama is essentially correct in citing slaves as builders of the White House, but there were others working as well. Okay, so let me. We only dealing with the slave issue, Bill. We ain't talking about the quote-unquote free folk. We talking about the slaves who you say were, what did he say, fed and had decent lodgings. Is that the correct word? That's the correct word. He said decent lodgings. Let me make sure I got the words exactly right. Yeah, decent lodgings. Yeah, decent lodgings.
Mm-hmm.
What we later found out, if you do some reading, is that the lodgings that they had were huts that were built on the property. Decent lodging. Now this ain't like, can I? I'm gonna go there. This ain't like they was on a camping trip. Y'all ain't in the tent singing Kumbaya and this little light of mine. I'm going. They wasn't exactly singing that while they were building the White House.
What were they singing?
This.
Gentle Savior.
Right. Oh, my Redeemer, come. I don't know. But first of all, he's trying to make it seem like they was on a camping trip.
Mm.
A voluntary camping trip. But there's one problem with this. The slave word.
Yeah.
That means I ain't here by my own volition.
Yeah. I was forced
to
do this labor.
Come on now.
Who was paid?
Yeah. The slave masters.
Aren't the slave masters the same people who bought and traded?
Sold.
Well,
they ain't trading now. They sold.
Slaves?
Nah, right. That's
and how much
check.
Money did the slaves get?
Nothing.
Okay.
They weren't paid because they were slaves. They didn't have to be paid. So there was no payment.
So your point, Mr. O'Reilly.
He had one.
Okay.
Yeah. I saw that and I said, is he serious? So I'm waiting once again, I'm waiting on, because Fox News is known to be ignorant. They known to be way, way, way on the other side. They are known for that. FYI, I know Facebook Live stopped. I don't know what's going on. It ain't us. It ain't me. So it just
stopped. Did it come back on?
No, it didn't. It's kind of frozen because we frozen. So. Everything else is working. So, that's a Facebook thing. That ain't us. It always happens in here. So, we apologize for that. But I'm waiting to hear. I want to hear. Somebody needs to continue the uproar until he's forced to apologize for his well-fed.
Sensitive comment.
Yeah, for his well-fed, decent lodging comment. I'm waiting on some sort of.
So I'd seen, was it a few weeks ago, D.L. Hughley was on Fox and he got into it with...
With another, during the Black Lives Matter thing about the... Yeah.
Did you get a chance to see that or talk about that?
I did briefly, but
okay.
Yeah. Once again,
I heard he brought some correction to the table.
Oh yeah, he said the fact that Fox News even is in the conversation is a problem. I think it was him and Megyn Kelly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, mind you, this is the same Megyn Kelly who got into it with Donald Trump, because she might be a little off, but she ain't crazy enough to not to recognize that even the Donald has some issues. So, yeah. So, look at y'all. We're going to get the Facebook Live thing up and running. I think I'm just going to have to stop it and restart it some kind of way. But we're going to keep the show going. But I just want y'all to know that. So,
wow.
So we'll figure that out. I thought I would bring that up because.
I mean, those who live in this country are really showing their hand. You know, I mean, that's
they
clearly.
They ain't hiding it at all.
No. Yeah. And due to the fact that I would say that they've been inspired. You know, by one of the candidates that's running, and so what you see is what you get, for real. And so we need to make sure that we understand that this is how they feel. This is what they believe, you know, and this is the deck of cards that they're showing you. This is what we have. And, you know, as we always say, you know, I'm glad that you showed me your hand, you know, so now I can adjust my prayers, you know. Thank you. Thank you for revealing what's in your hand. And so all of this stuff, man, is just such a huge spiritual battle.
Yeah, it really is.
And it cannot be fought in the flesh. And so you know, we as a church, man, we gotta pray, man, and then, you know, we need to consecrate ourselves too for some fasting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and to God send a revival to this country, for real. You know, that would be huge. I'm not saying that everybody in the whole, you know, United States will be saved and everybody become Christian.
Mm-hmm.
Did I hear this somewhere that in some years, this will be probably a predominantly Muslim country?
Wow. Yeah. It should have. That was the prediction. Somebody said that would be the prediction. Somebody said that 10 or 15 years ago. But that by now it would have been, but it's not. But somebody did say that would be the case.
Yeah, and so we're seeing a number of, you know, from prison to college, you know, seeing the conversions and things like that that's happening. And, you know, like I said before, being proactive, you know, praying. And another thing that I believe is very important is that we need to have the right people around us for vision purposes.
Oh, my God.
You know, for vision purposes only. If you got people on your team who don't believe in the dream God gave you, you need to fire them. And that's the truth. And so there's a dose of reality after a board meeting that I had. And, you know, some people are probably not going to be happy. But I believe that God does things in an extreme measure when necessary.
Mm-hmm.
And so people who will not follow you,
mm-hmm.
Because everybody can't go with you. Everybody couldn't go with Gideon.
Come on.
So
now,
all of the people who drunk the water the wrong way were the people who were left behind.
Talk good now.
Right?
Come on. Come
and
on.
So, you know, there's only one Esther who gonna make it to see the king. Everybody Ooh. Else who prepared, they didn't make it because God didn't position them to go. Because Esther was set up to save her people.
Right.
Right. And so there's some people who sit amongst us as church members and board members and all of this stuff, holding titles, and they don't have the interest of the king at heart.
Wow.
The interest that they have at heart is just like Haman.
Woo.
You know, you don't care if the people, if there is a genocide going on, if you were part of a genocide.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing you're concerned about is your position.
Wow.
And so, you know, we've got to start making some radical decisions to sit some people down.
Yeah.
For other people, we just simply need to let them go. Let them go means your services are no longer needed.
Come on.
And so as God began to speak to me, we need aggressive people in our leadership roles.
Yes.
Everybody that's a part of the kingdom of God, there is no passiveness there. Right.
Yeah.
I look at, as we said, Wednesday night, if that wasn't an eye opener for some people, you know, if that I am dead serious, you know, that resonated in my spirit so heavily, you know, and then some things just start to be about confirmation. And I heard some stuff from other people because remember, you know, out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, let everything be established.
Yeah.
And so as I, you know. On the ride in, I was sharing some thoughts as to what I believe God was sharing with me, and people started confirming that, you need a whole new regime, and those who don't like it, guess what? There's only two options here. You know, you grow to like it or you find somewhere else where you can like what's going on.
Come on now.
Because the problem that we have is that we have people holding positions but not going anywhere.
Wow.
You follow what I'm saying?
Wow.
We have people who sit in church and they wave the flag with the title on it.
Come on.
But they have nothing
Come on.
To show why they hold that title.
Oh, my God.
You know, you can't show me one thing that you've put in. And God began to speak to me. He said, look, those who are not seeking to advance the kingdom, who sit on your board, you need the fire.
Wow.
Fire them, because if they're not trying to find ways to help the visionary meet the vision,
wow,
why are they there?
Wow. Come on.
Why are you there? If you're not going to be an assistant pastor, why are you there?
Ooh, ooh.
If you're not going to be the best Sunday school teacher, why are you there?
Come on.
You know, and so this is what we need to do. We need to be aggressive. Jesus was very aggressive about finding disciples to disciple.
Mm-hmm.
And then he knew, because he had a time frame, these people, if they not ready, they're going to have to be ready.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and they're going to have to be ready. And so with a vision, sometimes, listen, and I'm going to tell you all something that's unorthodox and that don't happen quite often, especially within your local church.
Mm-hmm.
Some of your people that's on your board, should be from the outside.
Wow.
Some of those people should be on the outside looking in to be a second eye to what you guys are trying
to
do.
Right, right.
You know, and sometimes the reason why we stop progressing is that we find people who don't want to practice being professional. They want to practice being religious.
Woo. Oh, my God.
And that's where we find our stagnation. When you decide to clean up the house like Christ did when he went in the temple and he turned over some tables, people are going to continue to sell you blemished animals.
Wow.
Ooh. Ooh. Somebody missed that. I'm telling you, people are going to continue to sell you something that ain't no good.
Wow.
And that even if you go and you take it and you sacrifice it, God is not even going to accept it because you did not meet the qualifications for which you are to offer it up.
Wow. Come on now. Come on.
So, you know, that's that. People going to get mad. They're going to get upset. Mm-hmm. But guess what? Even Jesus had to put people out the upper room.
Wow. Uh-oh.
It ain't personal.
My God.
But it's strictly business.
My
God. What business is it? It is the business of my Father.
Yes.
And that's what he told them over and over and over again. And that's what you need to start telling people who don't want to conform to the vision that God gave you. I'm about my Father's business.
Yeah.
And if you aren't on board with the vision, I don't need you on the board.
Wow.
I need you to board another ship or another boat and find your way to where you're going, because right here, this ship is sailing this away.
Wow. Come on, son.
You know, and everybody who's on this boat that don't want to row, you need to go and find you another boat to be on.
Come on, sir.
You know, and that's how churches move together as a team and as a unit.
Mm-hmm.
And so once you train people and get people ready to go, it's time for you to move to the next level.
Yeah.
You know, and I said, man, that is absolutely funny. Mm. If you cannot say what God is doing in your life.
Yeah.
You're not very conscious of God at all.
Not at all.
You know?
Yeah.
Why did God put me in a supervisor position to continue to lead better
That's right.
within the organization
That's
of
right.
the church?
That's right.
Right?
That's
Why
right.
did God open the door? Because I'm supposed to be going back to school for business administration this fall.
Okay. Okay.
Now, I didn't set none of this up.
Okay. Come on.
But what I'm trying to get you to see is it's not my purpose.
Yeah.
It's God's purpose.
Come on. Come
right?
on.
And so once I recognize it's his vision
mm-hmm.
and it's his vision that I'm following,
mm-hmm.
God has the provisions laid out for us. The reason why the path is cloudy is because you're still walking on the same road you've always been walking on, and you've never stopped to look at the road that has a light with a lamp that leads you in
wow.
the path of righteousness.
Wow. That's
you know, good. And so that's where we are. And as I sit back and I look at this, even if you don't look at the natural illustrations of your job, and you know you've been in management for a long time,
yeah.
the people who are on your crew, your team,
yeah.
your team members, and
yeah.
those who are supposed to make you look good. Watch this. Mm-hmm. They're supposed to make you look good, make it look like you doing your job. So when they're not doing their job, it's a reflection on
you.
On you, right?
That's right. That's
it's
right.
a reflection on you. But when you got a great team of people working
mm-hmm.
alongside of you.
Yeah. Yeah.
It takes the company, the organization
mm-hmm.
to new heights.
Yes, it does.
Right?
Yes, it does.
Look, and things start to happen that was far beyond what they thought would take place. But that oftentimes the problem is it's happening in the boardroom
mm-hmm.
that's affecting everything else.
Absolutely.
So you got to go to your boardroom first.
Mm-hmm.
And if you got people in there and you say, this is the vision, and you have to start asking specific questions now.
Yeah.
This is the part where we mess up at it. Here's the vision. This is our vision as a church, as leadership.
Mm-hmm.
How do you plan to help make that vision come to pass?
Right.
What has God said to you that will cause you to be a strategic part of making that happen? If you have people who sit in your boardroom who cannot answer that question, they don't need to be there.
Wow. I love it. That's good stuff.
They don't need to be there.
That's good stuff.
How is it that you can't tell me that you sit on the board where you have no ideas
mm-hmm.
and you're probably just a yes man or a no man?
Mm-hmm.
Your services are not needed here. There's nothing I can do with you. How are you an intricate part of moving kingdom agenda?
Yeah.
So we need people who are thinking beyond where we are right now in those four walls of the church.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I was just telling somebody this. I said, look, the way I'm feeling right now, I said, I believe that in the next year or two, God is going to open up a new location for NOC.
Wow.
We're going to start a new location. It's just about getting the team of people together and finding a replacement for you.
Mm-hmm.
So you should be looking for a replacement as a pastor. I'm just simply saying, you know, you need to be looking for your replacement. Right now, I'm working on my replacement, and I've already started setting my sights on where our next location is going to be.
Mm-hmm.
This is the conversations that I'm having.
Right.
And if I come to the table and the other board members are not talking about this,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
why are we here?
Yeah. Yeah.
Why are we here? You need to come to the table and say, this is how we are going to progress here. This is how we're going to progress here. So quite naturally, where is your person who's going to be your tech person?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Very good in technology.
Right.
People
right.
very good in business.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, in marketing, in advertisement,
yeah.
and all of that stuff. And so you got board members who sit around and say, we just can't afford it. Fire them.
Or I'm on the board, but I have no real set skill.
No.
I just happen to be on the board. Yeah, that's a whole other thing. Because that only happens in the church. Because, see, and you couldn't sit on somebody else's board without some type of experience. In the secular world, you can't sit on the board of no bank with no financial background. It just doesn't happen that way. You don't sit on the board of a hospital without some type of input that they could use. Now, mind you, everybody on the hospital board ain't a doctor,
but
they have some skill. Sort of background, some
yeah.
skill, whether it be marketing or business or financial or something to keep the place running. You just can't have everybody on the board just because you're on the board because you can say hallelujah louder than the person next to you.
Yeah.
That ain't going to get you nothing.
I agree.
That ain't going to get you nothing.
what are you bringing
to the table?
To the board?
Nothing.
But you know what? Who that falls on now?
Pastor.
That falls on your leader.
On your leader, yeah.
Your leader should know the intricate pieces that he needs.
That's true.
He or she,
That's true.
You need to know, I need this person.
Mm-hmm.
I need this person. And people are going out to spend money Mm-hmm. Listen to me now. Spend money on crucial pieces to the puzzle.
Yeah, yeah.
If you're not willing to invest that,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's time out for people who are only concerned about a building fund.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so done with that idea. It is not even funny.
Mm-hmm.
Who cares about a building fund? How about you get to a place where you don't have no overhead?
Wow.
And you can still do all of the things that you need to do, but more in a more intimate way.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So what can we do with that money that was going to go towards mortgage?
Yeah.
Now we put more than half of it back into our pocket, and we pay no overhead, and we can put it towards what? That's another salary for an intricate part of somebody who can help us advance the vision.
We got an email. Wow. Email, and I guess it's talking directly about comment you just made.
Okay.
The email says, hello, I hear many Christians such as yourself say God told me to do or not to do a certain thing.
Uh-huh.
How do I distinguish his voice instead of my own thinking?
Simple. I would say simple because those moves that I have made,
mm-hmm.
they were on target. And I know. So basically, if you're not sure,
mm-hmm.
this is some of the methods that I've chosen to use, and I think they're great.
Okay.
One of the things you can do is you can fast.
Oh, yeah.
You can fast and say, you know.
For that particular thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
You fast for that particular thing. Mm-hmm. Okay, God, I want to be able to distinguish your voice. Another thing, getting in his word.
Mm.
Once you, I mean, we can't nail God to a T and say, you know, I know the ins and the outs of God,
mm-hmm.
but we can get a very good handle on foolishness.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So we can tackle it there. What
mm-hmm.
does the word say
mm-hmm.
based on what's being said to my heart? Now,
mm-hmm.
this is my reference.
Yeah.
Now, also the other part is you wait for confirmation too.
Yeah.
Because people who you may not even have the conversation with may have the conversation with you first.
Yeah, and they'll and come with the confirmation.
That is the other piece of confirmation, you know. Like I said, just simple stuff. When churches want to bash you, when you decide you want to walk away and leave that church, guess what? That was confirmation. You should have been left.
Mm.
Because there is a controlling, manipulative spirit that's going on in the church. And, you know, if you leave my church, we're going to talk bad about you. And you don't need to be at nobody else's ministry. You know, we
Ooh,
do that
Lord.
Stuff to people.
Yeah,
and I haven't seen one scripture that supports it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So, you know, but like I said before, you know, pray on it. You
mm-hmm.
know, God, sometimes I can't distinguish your voice from maybe some voices that's going on in my head.
Mm-hmm.
You know, can you please help me distinguish between you speaking and me speaking?
And the fasting part is so important because, see, fasting empties you out. Fasting empties you out to a point where you can actually hear. So sometimes you have to cut off everything and get yourself in a place where it empties you and you pour all of yourself out so that it gives room for God to pour in.
Yeah.
You can't do that if you're constantly listening to every other voice.
Mm-hmm.
If you ask God for something and to give you direction on one particular thing, like say it's about a job.
Mm-hmm.
But then now you go into you go into four different churches, you listen to four different churches on TV,
yeah.
and you read all this other stuff. Maybe you need to just disconnect.
Yeah,
you just need to disconnect from all of that, especially if you're in a church. Especially if you're in a church,
mm-hmm.
we need to get yourself to a point where you empty yourself out of all of that noise and all of those people. And then you can just focus where it's just you and God, and then God will be able to reveal. Because guess what? It's not that he hasn't shown it. It's that you haven't put yourself in a position to see it.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
when you empty yourself, it then gives you room to be able to see the direction.
Yeah, that's true. The one book I've been reading, Flickering Lamps, he talks about the idea, like what you said, it's not that God hasn't spoke.
Yeah.
It's that we simply have not stopped to listen.
Come on.
And so when we get to that place, we mm-hmm. find out God has been speaking to us all along.
Yeah.
But because we've rejected it, or because we're too busy,
yeah.
or, you know, we're not ready for that change, or,
right.
you know, whatever the situation
right.
might be.
Right.
But once we calm ourselves, we calm our spirits,
mm-hmm.
and we say, look, you know, I need to commune with God.
Yeah.
And I need to set aside some dates and some times where I can go straight in, just in a devotional sort of pour my heart out. And I just advised this to someone just yesterday who was asking me about fasting.
Okay. Okay.
You know, and you know, as it relates to emotional relationships and all of that stuff. Yeah, maybe you need to fast. Maybe you need to spend some time with God, pouring your heart out and letting him heal you.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's through prayer.
Yeah.
But you also need the word, too.
Yes.
So that's very important. And then you need to be around other Christians who are willing to pour into you and to encourage you.
Absolutely. So we hope that answers your question, Felicia. We thank you for the email. As always, we thank you for listening, everybody else. Real quick, I know I saw people on Facebook Live. We had lost some folk. We came back. We had to do a reconnect. Y'all know Facebook trip when they want to. We do have a topic. The topic is the priority of praise. We haven't gotten to it yet because I saw somebody ask. That's my cousin, Roy. What's up, Roy? I see you, boy. But we're going to get to that. We were answering a question about how do we know we're hearing God's voice. So if you had just timed in, that's what we were doing, just what we were doing. So it is Praise Break Friday, y'all. But again, we're in the middle of our hot topics conversation. It's something else is in the news that's near and dear to both of our hearts. Case y'all had no, because it hasn't really been on the news a lot lately. There is still a problem in Flint, Michigan.
Yes, it is.
There was, and real quick, shout out to Reverend Cliff Williams from First Baptist. He's been to Flint seven times.
Wow.
Seven times he's been to Flint to take water.
Wow.
Seven times. So now he has a team, and they got this thing worked out surgically, not like, you know, we did it. But they got they got this thing worked out surgically. Well, you know, now they just get in their cars and they drive, and then they get down there. Then they go pick up the water, and then they just deliver it. So they got a team on the ground there, and they just show up and deliver water. So here is the thing, and I'm going to get to your comment in a minute. But just so y'all know what's going on in Flint, finally, in Flint, they're finally bringing some criminal charges to the people who were in charge in Flint, Michigan. It says six current and former Michigan employees were charged Friday in a widening criminal investigation into the Flint water crisis, says State's Attorney General Bill Schuett. It says, prosecutors said the State Department of Environmental Quality and Department of Health and Human Services manipulated and altered reports about lead contamination in the drinking water. Investigators are still working their way up the chain of command. My. It says with the latest round of charges, a total of nine current and former state and local officials face counts ranging from willful neglect of duty to conspiracy over allegations that they withheld information from the public about the lead contamination in the city's drinking water. The prosecutor said the families of Flint will not be forgotten. We will provide the justice they deserve, and in Michigan, the justice system is not rigged. Uh-oh, he was throwing some shade.
Yeah, that sounds like it.
Yeah, it was. there is one system of justice. The law here applies to everyone.
That's right.
Equally.
That's right.
No matter who you are.
Come on, somebody.
Come on, somebody. All right, Mr.
Serve
Prosecutor.
It Serve it up.
He says, let me go further. He says one of the highest-ranking officials charged Friday is Leanne Schechter Smith. She's the former chief of the Office of Drinking Water and Municipal Assistance at the Michigan Department of Environmental Quality. She is charged with one count of misconduct in office and one count of willful neglect of duty. The two other departments of environmental quality workers are water quality analyst Adam Rosenthal, who faces charges of misconduct in office, willful neglect of duty, and tampering with evidence, and conspiracy to tamper with evidence. And then there's Patrick Cook, the community drinking water unit specialist, who is charged with willful neglect of duty, misconduct in office, and conspiracy.
You know what's interesting?
Come on.
As we look at this, it still took a team of them to pull that off.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So, and my point in saying that is that if you can get some people who sit on boards in your church to be on the same accord.
My God.
Now, our job was to hide
this part.
The truth.
Yeah, that was their job,
and they were able to do it for a short period of time
until
it got out of hand. Uh-huh. And I don't think that they thought it through to know that this is going to get bad. You get what I mean? And so and that's so crazy that if you're not – if you're corrupt and you got other people under you corrupt, the city in trouble. You know, the people are in trouble. If you are a person who sits on the board and you corrupt and the rest of the board members are just as corrupt, guess what? Those who attend that church, they'll find out sooner or later, but they're in trouble.
Wow.
They are in serious trouble.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, this is sad, you know, and unfortunately, you know, stuff happens, and I can tell you what the main motivation was. You already know. It was money.
Come on.
Come on now. You know it was money. You got to kick me something back for me to be quiet on this situation, and we didn't switch from paying this amount to this amount.
Yep.
Where is the money for it?
Yep. Yeah. That's good. That's real good. So, man, look, we're going to definitely stay on top of that. It's very necessary that we do, because we want to say, man, shout out to those people down there in Flint, man. We still praying for y'all, keeping y'all in our prayers, because it's not over. It's not over. They're still, you know, they did switch the water back.
Okay.
But, you know, the pipes corroded with all the lead.
Yep.
So and what's on the website is they're being told to continue to drink bottled water and filtered water.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, so, yeah, you still can't drink water directly from the tap.
Yeah, you still got. I mean, okay. What are we looking at? Maybe another two.
It could be a couple years.
It could be
a couple years, because the pipes that could not be cleaned had to be replaced.
We're
talking about years, and we're talking about pipes hundreds of years old. Yeah,
a lot of construction. Ground and all of that. Yeah.
Now the one thing ought to come out of it. Somebody can't tell me ain't no jobs in Flint now. I don't care if you're digging up ditches.
What they should have done, and I know this may have costed a little more money, you know, build up or below that piping a whole new system.
They probably don't have to.
Yeah.
That's probably what they're going to do. They probably can't use the old system at all.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, they probably can't, you know, because even if the clean water is being filtered out, it's still going through those bad pipes.
Yeah.
So
it's one of those. You know, as people take shortcuts to save money, though.
Yeah, yeah.
Watch that construction project. We know.
Yeah. So that's what's going on. So look at y'all. We do have this great this really 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 good article.
Did someone have a question? You said.
Oh yeah, we had a comment. I'm sorry. Thank you. We had a comment. Let me pull that up. Appreciate you, man. Because you know I ain't forgot. Y'all know I got that. I got double ADH something, whatever you want to call it.
Double ADHD.
It says, when we talked about, he's going back to the thing about listening there. He says, the problem is too many people serving multiple gods. Too many people serving multiple gods. And I'm assuming he's saying people's thoughts are not only just with God. I don't know if he meant actually gods, but, you know, idols. I'm not sure if you want to clarify that for me, brother Roy, please do, because he made a comment on. He says the problem is too many people are serving multiple gods. So we'll come back to it
That's why it's hard for them to.
Yeah, that's why it's hard for them to listen to hear the voice of God, because they're serving multiple gods. So and that could be the case.
Point. Yeah.
Because we think multiple gods, we think, you know, Allah, this, that, and other. Sometimes it could be idols. We could set things up.
We could
set things up as gods.
Yeah.
Not knowing that that's what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, absolutely.
True that.
Absolutely. So that's good. So look at y'all. We're gonna take a real, real quick break. Y'all can keep the conversation going. Matter of fact, let me give y'all the rundown. Let me give y'all all the contact numbers and all of that good stuff for call-ins. Those of you guys there it is. So he clarified. I appreciate you, Roy. I appreciate you for clarifying. He says whether it's money, power, or idolatry. Yeah, money, power, or idolatry. People are serving or listening to too many gods. You're right on point with that, Doc. You're right on point with that.
Yeah.
That's good stuff. So look here, y'all. You want to be a part of the show, we glad to read your emails, your comments, your emails. Those of you watching on Facebook Live, I appreciate you. If you want to go ahead and email the show, that's takingthelimitsoff@comcast.net. Or you don't have to email the show. You can read your comment. You know, you can make your comment right there on Facebook Live. If you want to be on the air and comment live over the radio waves, the number is real simple. It's area code 347. 347-934-0546. That's again, that's area code 347-934-0546. You can call in and be a part of the show. The Ustream chat is open. We there as well. Facebook Live, everything's open. So hey, you know what? Feel free to do that. But look, we're gonna take real quick. We're going to take a real quick praise break, real quick. And then when we come back, we're going to jump right into today's conversation. All right? So we're going to give y'all a little bit of this one. And I say real quick, it ain't going to be no but a hot minute and 20 seconds. But we'll be right back, y'all. TTLO.
You know what? That's just what I figured. If you can't get happy about your testimony, nobody else can. But some of you been at death's door. Some of you, God paid your bills. Some of you, God healed your body. Some of you, the Lord changed your mind. Some of you, God made a way out of no way. Shake somebody's hand and say, neighbor, he's done so much for me. I cannot tell it all. Now give God a shabak in this house. Hey. Woo. When I think of the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for me, my soul cries out hallelujah. Thank God for saving me. As a matter of fact, I feel the Holy Ghost now because of your praise. God said, I just turned it around for you, and I know it's tight where you are, but if you believe God's gonna turn it around, get up out of your seat and turn around one time and say, God has already fixed it. God has already turned it around. Woo!
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We took that real. we had to have that one, boy. I'm gonna tell y'all. We really, really want to just, man. I just want to. We gonna have to get, you know, Michael Henderson.
I want an organist now.
Man, don't we? Don't you need one, Doc? You just got.
And I don't even. I don't even preach hard like that.
But you
I
might.
Don't even break a sweat.
But you might if he
in service.
If the organ is hit it
I'm
right, though.
I'm standing there like this.
Yes, got the Black Joe Osteen over here.
Expositing on the text.
What word was that? Did he just make up a word? Expositing. I want y'all to expositing. Anyway, he just tore up a good word.
Yeah, tore it up.
anyway, I really need. We really need. I would be a little nervous if an organ player got behind me while I was preaching like that. Ain't no telling what might happen.
I
don't know.
Consider walking the pews?
I don't know, man. Like, I tell you an example. At the funeral, I don't know who this cat was on the organ. But so, you know, they had it was a little mix-up. So they had the pastor from Prince of Peace was there.
Okay.
Because I guess he's the pastor on duty.
Okay.
There's, you know, funeral homes have preachers on duty, which is actually an interesting business to get in.
Yeah.
You
know, was telling me about that a while back.
They get the check.
Because mm-hmm.
they handed
to
him,
do eulogies,
they handed him
like
the, they handed him the check when the service was over.
Yeah.
They talk about,
yeah, they do pay them to do that.
Yeah, they
though.
Gave him the check when the service was over. Y'all pray for me. Y'all pray for me. See, the funeral home paid him. But right. That's who got the check. So, anyway.
Run that by me one more time.
Hey, they put the envelope in.
I got the folk happy.
So anyway, he went ahead and officiated the pretty much walking people through the program. But
okay.
I let him. So since he was there, I ain't want no conflict. I said, yeah, no, you since he came, you know, you go ahead and do that part, you know. But I'll do this down here. So it was fine. I didn't care. I wasn't expecting to get paid. I just noticed that they did have a check and it went somewhere else.
It didn't go to your hand.
It didn't come by here, my Lord. Come back. Right. That's what I'm gonna need my. That's when I need Michael around. See, Michael is a good. Michael is all about making sure you get that check. See, I need him to have handled that. Be like, excuse me. anyway, y'all know I'm slow. So we got this. We got this good article. Oh my God. We have this great article we want to get into. It's called The Priority of Praise. The Priority of Praise. Now, y'all know how I am when it comes to praise and worship, and it's, I think it is absolutely a priority for any worship service. I think it's a priority to have praise and worship in your life. I think it's a priority to have praise and worship be a part of your lifestyle. I think it needs to be who you are, not just what you do. So this is a good article. It's by Dwayne Moore on
what
church.
What if you don't have praise and worship in your church?
Man, you need to get some.
You said figure something out.
You need to figure something out because it don't require musicians. Huh?
Yeah.
Ah, yeah. See, you
what can you do then?
Man,
use the voices.
You use the voices.
What if they don't sing?
Clap. You can pray. You praise God by simply giving him the fruit of your lips. So you okay? Let me.
What
let
if
me.
They don't want to give it?
Let me. Okay, you need to teach it. Because what you need to know is, matter of fact, last night I was writing. I don't know why I started writing. We're working on a sermon, and instantly I was thinking I was doing this.
Okay.
And instantly it took me, of course, you know, you think about praise and worship, you instantly go to the psalm because that's where they are. That the whole book of it's all, you might as well call it the book of praise if you want to. But I went there and Psalm 150, mm-hmm. and I just praise ye the Lord. That's okay. So first of all, if you take that, first of all, that's the call.
Mm-hmm.
That's the call to praise. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. If you look up two things, praise ye the Lord. In Hebrew, the word is two words. It's hallelujah, and
mm-hmm.
then Yah. Mm-hmm. Yah being Lord, hallelujah meaning praise ye. That's a call.
Yep.
So I know a lot of times, and I know we've heard this quite often about hallelujah is the highest praise. Let me correct you if I can take this with you. Hallelujah is not the highest praise.
It is not.
It is a call to praise. So meaning when somebody says hallelujah, you're supposed to start praising.
Yeah, that's biblically incorrect.
Right. To say it's the
it says that praise. God would inhabit the praises of
his people.
Now that's text.
Right. So
thank you for helping some people out.
Because
people, worship leaders tend to say that.
Because we've heard it from somebody else.
Who we never asked.
And somebody else.
Where did you get that from?
Because when you've heard, you know, great gospel artists like Richard Smallwood say it, and
mm-hmm.
Kirk Carr say it, and even Kirk Franklin said it, and some others, you tend to go, well, hey, it must be. It must be. Well, guess what? It ain't.
Yeah.
It ain't. Yeah. And we need to let people understand that. So we need to get to a point where, so that's what that is. So to answer your question, if you don't have necessarily the music aspect of praise and worship, okay, so even if you take the Psalm 150, first, if you go all the way to the end, it says, let everything.
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 But what if everything don't want to do it? Okay. My God.
That's fine, but your job as the main worship leader, because you're the pastor,
mm-hmm.
so your job as the main worship leader is to keep indoctrinating that thing into them to first to say, I'm not asking you to praise God with me. We're going to go by what the scriptures say. Because, see, conviction is real easy to set in on some people. I'm not asking you to praise the Lord with me. I'm asking you to follow the command of what the Bible says.
That's what the Lord says.
The Lord didn't say, come on, people, if I've been good to you, praise me. That ain't what he said. He said, praise ye the Lord.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then he goes on to say, praise God in his
Holy
sanctuary.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
So see, he said, praise him in his sanctuary. So that means this place
mm-hmm.
where we are is his sanctuary. I know somebody else's name on the lease. I know somebody else's name on the building. I know somebody else founded it. Somebody else organized it. I know it was a replant. I know it was all these things before. But at the end of the day, it's still his sanctuary.
That's it.
So if you're sitting in here, because anybody who's not praising, you're being disobedient.
Mm.
You're being disobedient.
Yeah,
that's just the truth. You're being disobedient.
David said, "Look, I'm trying to usher you into this experience.
Come on, somebody."
Well, he said, "I was glad when they said unto me,
let us
go into the house of the Lord." And then he said, "I will bless the Lord at all."
See?
So he just, come on, y'all, we got to do this. We got to pour out to God. You know, as the one sister who was on the show talk about. Sometimes you gotta. There's a sacrifice of praise
Absolutely.
That you gotta offer. That's when you don't want to.
Right.
but because out of obedience, you do it anyway.
I know it's going to make me uncomfortable, but guess what? I know who God is. Come on, let's do the article, because I can stay there all day. So the writer says, my God. So we're doing this article, The Priority of Praise. Let me do this real quick. For those of you all on Facebook Live, I know sometimes y'all come in late and y'all don't know what we're talking about. We're doing this article. Let me send it to you right now. There it is. I like this. We can just send some stuff out. They got it. So that's the article, The Priority of Praise by Dwayne Moore, churchleaders.com. You click on that. You can follow along with us while we're going through this conversation. The writer says, have you ever looked out the window of an airplane just before it pierces the clouds and noticed how much of the terrain you could see from that one vantage point? He says, you suddenly begin to realize just how enormous this earth of ours really is. The writer goes on to say, imagine with me now that we're flying over and looking down at praise. Wow. He says, as we take a broad view of praise, we'll begin to notice two things that show just how important to the Lord praise really is. He says, first, we realize that praise, like land and water seen from an airplane, stretches as far as the mind can perceive in all directions. It's infinitely vast. Wow. That right there is I like that. Then he says, praise is, well, let me not even go to praise is prevalent. I like the fact that he says, I like the illustration he used about the vastness of praise, the expanse of it, how far it goes. And you know what I just thought about? That same Psalm 150, where it says, praise him in the firmament of his power.
Yeah.
The firmament. That's that thing that ties the heavens and the earth. You know how much? Okay.
Just praise me in between my creation.
Yeah! Come on, somebody. All right. Okay. All right. So then the writer goes, he says, praise is prevalent. He says, as we scan the plains of praise, we see many landmarks that give us a clear picture of how far reaching praise to God is. So he says, watch this. He says, God's people, I like how he titled that now. God's people have always praised him. Yeah. He says, I've been a praise leader for a long time. He says, in fact, I was leading worship when worship wasn't cool. He says, it's exciting now to see just how far praise has come. More and more churches and individual Christians are embracing greater freedom in worship. Praise is no longer just for that denomination down the street. You know, the sanctified church. Y'all know what we used to say. you know, with strong teaching on biblical worship and praise, this freedom will continue far beyond any worship fad. In one form or another, praise to our wonderful God has always been in vogue among his followers. He says in Psalm 33, the opening words of the call to worship, including sing joyfully to the Lord, you righteous. It is fitting for the upright to praise him. Throughout Israel's history, the people's most shining moments, those most pleasing to God, were times they lifted God up in praise. In fact, David said of God, you are the praise of Israel. Ooh, my God, right there. I could have ran two laps. Right then. He says, you are the praise of Israel. Then he says, we've already seen in 2 Chronicles 20:18 that all the people of Judah and Jerusalem fell down in worship before the Lord. I like what Paul Morton said, bow down.
And worship him.
He says, some Levites even praised God with loud voice in verse 19. He says, whether they were kneeling quietly or being loud and joyful, they never considered what they were doing as strange or inappropriate. He says, the fact that all of Judah bowed in worship shows that praise was just not for the less educated,
yes, sir,
or the less cultured. Rather, it was for every believer, it was every believer's most natural response to God's power and grace.
That's it, man.
Right there.
From the beginning. From the beginning, man. From the beginning.
My God.
Look, whatever class you sit in.
Yeah.
You know, God is, he's due praise. He's due your worship. And so, Nobody excluded from that process.
Mm-hmm.
Let everything that have breath.
Come on.
Praise ye the Lord.
Come on. Hallelujah. That is. Let's keep it going. He says, the writer says, throughout God's word, we find praise being lifted up to him. It says the word praise can be found well over 200 times in the Bible. When we include related words such as worship, sing, shout, and bow down, the number then climbs close to 500. Wow. Now, here's the deal. If it's mentioned that many times in the Bible, if there's got to be some sort of semblance of importance to it. You know, they didn't just keep saying praise and worship and sing and shout and bow down just for health purposes.
It was a festival. It was a coming together.
Come on.
Of authentic worship where people opened their mouths.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And they sang and they gave praises unto the Lord.
Yeah. Yeah.
After victories.
Yeah. Before victories.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Come on now. He says, the writer continues, he says, for all eternity, make sure I got this right now. Oh, it is only one page.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. He says, for all eternity, God will be praised. He says, take a moment and read Jude 24 and 25. He says, stop now and imagine yourself in heaven saying or singing those words to God. How long do you think you will need to fully express your gratitude and adoration to him? I love that. Matter of fact, we need to go on and give these folks Jude 24 and 25. Let me read that real quick. Jude 24 and 25. That says, come on. Jude 24 and 25. That's that doxology. That says, now unto him
who is able.
Who is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of glory with exceeding joy to the only, my God, to the only wise God. Come on, somebody. Our Savior be glory, majesty, dominion, and power, both now and forever. That's now you can't.
We learned that in our ministers meeting.
Exactly. We had to learn one.
Had to learn
that's the only one I
benediction.
Remember. That's the only one I really remember.
Sometimes. I think I know three.
You know.
But
three?
I use the one from Deuteronomy. I'm from Numbers.
Oh, okay.
The Lord bless thee and keep.
Oh, may the Lord keep thee and bless thee. Make his countenance shine.
Yes, sir.
That's a good one too. I got to get all the words to that one so I can get that one right. Because see, I'll be done did like my buddy Reverend King. I'll be done through three, four of them together in one, and just. Big shout out to him, man. Hope you're doing good, King.
Yes, sir.
You know,
yes,
recovering
sir.
From that little medical episode. We appreciate you, man. So let's keep going. He says, now please turn in your Bible to Revelation 4. Watch this now. He says, read the entire chapter carefully and take time to soak in this amazing scene.
Mm.
He says, this chapter describes part of John's vision.
Mm-hmm.
This chapter describes part of John's vision, the author of Revelation. He had of a glorious gathering in heaven that will take place at some point in the future. He says, it's interesting to note, however, that everything John described was in the past tense because he was telling about a heavenly vision he had already seen. Yet when he spoke of the praise taking place in heaven in verses 8 through 11, John suddenly spoke in the here and the now. He says, notice the verbs that are used in these verses saying, the verse is saying give, sits, worship, lives, lay, and say. What do all these words have in common? They are in the present tense. He says, I believe John's abrupt change from the past tense to the present tense was intentional. There's that word.
Yes, sir.
He says, John wanted to be clear that the praise he was witnessing was not a one-time event. Praise in heaven is ongoing, both in the present and in the never-ending future. Right there.
There it is.
Right there. That is. You can drop the mic.
You might as well get your practice on now.
Man.
That's awesome, man. And to know, look, what he created you to do.
Yeah.
Look, you fall right back into that which he created you to do.
Come on.
Be. Yeah.
I just, man, that's
do it now,
God
now.
Man, just man, get
out
your,
of your seat.
Get your practice in. Get your practice. Now you want to go somewhere and where you can sit down and, you know, where you think it's going to be comfortable.
You can come over where I'm at.
You can go, but no, I'm talking about afterwards. I'm talking about that, you know, that afterlife.
Oh.
Because there ain't going to be no, you know. Now, they might have some seats down yonder. Going to be a lot of
hot seats.
Some hot seats. And I don't think you're going to be able to sit down there either. I don't think you're going to be able to get come my understanding
no
of the definition. There's no level of comfort.
Mm-mm.
I know what we like to say, and I got this going joke I was teasing Danielle about. I said, you know, there's three levels of hell. Three levels. I said, there's you know, red hell, that red fire.
Okay.
Then there's yellow.
Then the orange.
No, then there's blue.
The blue flame.
That blue hell. That third level, you don't even want to know. That's that whole Dante's Inferno type piece, you know that. So if you're going to be uncomfortable, you might well at least be somewhere cool and, you know, where some praise happening.
Yeah.
That's just my own personal thought. Y'all ain't got to go with me. Just do your own. Keep doing your own thing. I'm trying to get my practice on. Because I at least want to be on the right beat when I get there.
We know what you're doing.
Man. The Bible says, throughout creation, God will be praised. Read Revelations 5, 11 through 14. He says, all heavenly beings, including angels, living creatures, and elders will praise him. Every creature being included, including people, animals, fish, and all of nature will sing to him. Praise is obviously both pleasing to God and natural for his creation.
Wait, aren't those elders going to be Jehovah Witnesses? 144,000
also will bow down.
Okay.
At the name. Huh. Every knee. I ain't making that part up. That's in the book now. It say at the name of Jesus. Come on now. At the, Isaiah said he shall be called wonderful.
Yeah. So if I become a Jehovah Witness, I can be a part of that 144.
I don't know that. No, they didn't, because it's only.
And I can just say I'm chosen. I'm anointed to be one of those elders.
But they don't. But
that lay upon the throne.
No, because see, that say at the name of Jesus. See, that part is kind of getting left out of the equation on that side over there. Yeah, they ain't quite. You know.
Okay.
Great methods, bad methods. come on, somebody. And we talked about it's natural for God's creation to praise him.
Mm-hmm.
It's natural. You think the birds in the morning getting up is chirping just to talk to you and disturb you? No, Doc. They know who their creator is.
Mm.
And if you ever watch any of those National Geographic shows and they show you the birds chirping in the morning, they ain't chirping looking down, Doc. Them beaks is pointed upward, Doc. Huh? they looking upward because they recognize. Huh? Come on, somebody. Yeah. Why you think the birds build their nest upward instead of? Okay. Let's just go.
They ain't ready.
We ain't gonna get that deep today. I ain't gonna take them there. We got 10 minutes. At this very moment in heaven, the writer says God is being praised. He said this is perhaps the most amazing of all. He says, please read Revelations 4:8 again. He said, did you notice that the four living creatures never stop saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty? He says, you may recall that was precisely what they kept saying in Isaiah's vision too.
Hmm.
He says, so if they say those words in the past and they will be saying them in the future, it's reasonable to conclude that they must be already saying them now, presently.
Right now.
Come on, somebody.
Yes, Lord.
He says, praise to our holy God is so important that heaven itself never stops praising him. Yeah. He says, I know how easy it is to sometimes feel in the minority during worship services, especially when it seems you're about the only one in the whole congregation who is participating. But I like what the writer says. He says, but be encouraged, because there is a louder roar of praise to God in heaven at that exact moment you praising him.
So you're not alone. You're not alone.
Come on.
Even though it looked like you alone among your peers.
Come on. Come on. This is good teaching here.
Yes, sir.
This is good teaching right here. he says, now let's go down to the end. He says, now watch this. He says, praise is inevitable. He says, now watch this. He says, okay, imagine we're still sitting by that little window of the plane. He says, so far we've been impressed with how enormous and vast praise is. He says, but now we've climbed into cruising altitude and we're discovering something more. He says, imagine yourself looking down from the airplane window below those scattered clouds. What's down there? He says, remember this. We're talking about a bird's eye view of praise. So it's really praise you're seeing below us. Wow. He says, so what's down there? The same thing that's been there since we took off. Praise. He says, even if you look away, it's fairly safe to predict that praise will be there the next time you look.
you can count on it.
Come on. Come on. So what he's saying is that praise is inevitable. It ain't gonna, you can't get rid of it. He says, while God desires praise from his people, he expects it from the rest of his creation. Let me give you that one more time. While God desires praise from his people, he expects it from the rest of his creation. Can I help you? Free will. Free will. The animals, the rest of his creation, the sun, the moon, the stars, they don't have an option.
Mm-hmm. Angels. No option.
Come on. Come on. Because it's already in them. Come on. All right. So then he says, David wrote, the heavens declare the glory of God, Psalm 19:1. He says that means every day of every year, of every century, the heavens are proclaiming his greatness and his worth. Oh, my God. He says, do you remember Jesus' words to the Pharisees when they told him to quiet his noisy disciples? Oh, he finna preach now. He says, during that triumphal entry, he says, I tell you, if they keep quiet, the rocks will cry out. Come on. He says, I'm sure I speak for both of us when I say I don't want any rocks to take my place. He says, but if we don't praise him, they will. Wow. He says, because God is going to get the praise he deserves, period. Watch this. What makes ours different is the fact that we're freely giving ours. See, we have a choice, and we're freely giving it. We're sacrificing it. These other things, they got to do it regardless. They got to do it. I'm telling you right now, a sick bird will still chirp.
It sure will.
Y'all missed that. A sick bird will still chirp because it's in them. A sick dog will still bark. Come on, somebody. Come on. A sick cow will still moo. I can say it. Y'all going to make it. Yeah, let me put this in my sermon notes. I'm ready. I don't know when I'm preaching next.
Maybe we need to get you out there.
I need to do
second
something.
Sunday.
I need to do something because this here, my God. Note here. This is a good thing. This actually is an excerpt from an article. It's an excerpt from a book written by this guy. It's called Pure Praise: A Heart Focused Bible Study on Worship. My God, definitely gonna add that to the library.
Yeah,
let me click on that real quick. So, man, look, that's just good. It just tells you about the power and the purpose of praise, man. Yeah, that's good right there. Order Pure Praise. That's the name of the book. Pure Praise. I will be adding that to the library. That's good. Is it on Amazon? Please be on Amazon. I'm gonna pray it's on Amazon. Anyway, y'all know me. I am the king of Amazon. I am the king of Amazon. I will order a book on Amazon all day, every day. So that's been the conversation, the priority of praise and how important it is, especially how important it is in the life of a Christian.
Oh, he got workshops to show on YouTube.
Oh, he got workshops on YouTube? Oh, you done blessed me now. Come on now.
That's the guy right there. Yeah. Yeah, sure is.
That's him?
Yeah.
Is that an Anglo-Saxon?
Yes, sir.
A European American? Well, bless his name. I ain't mad at him. Seeing us black folk, we be too stuck up to pray.
Take you to a whole nother level of worship.
He be too stuck up to pray. Oh, he got one for youth, too. Oh, my God.
That's good stuff, man.
Yeah, he got one for youth, too. Is it available in the Kindle version? It is not. See all formatted editions. Hold on. Good Lord, it's not. Let me tell you, I got to buy a real
not
book.
Yet.
Let me check the one for the children. Let's look here real quick. And it also is only available in paperback. Wow. I'm ordering this one here, though. I'm going to go and get that. You want a copy of this?
It's
here?
Done.
You want a copy of this? Here?
Yeah, I'll take a copy.
All right, but I'm going to go and order two then. Let me. You know, I don't be playing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Look, get that Prime.
Teach from it.
That Prime one day free, too?
Mm. Mm.
Man, add to the young cart. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Check out. Anyway, y'all, look here. We
might have to get you out there and do a praise and worship workshop.
Okay. Okay now.
But over the pulpit.
Oh, I ain't mad. I ain't mad.
How many days can you offer? How many Sundays would you be available to do?
I could probably make myself available. You know, I can make myself available. Let's see, free 2-day shipping. Yeah, Sunday we can get it by. We'll have it by Sunday. It'll deliver to my. You know, I use the Prime Amazon.
Oh, yeah.
The box. You know, I use.
Oh, you got the Prime shipping.
Use Prime shipping. It delivers it right to a box. So you ain't got to be at home. It delivers it like at 7-Elevens. They got those Amazon boxes.
Really?
And they just,
I didn't know that.
They just put your stuff in the box and you put your code in and your door open up and get your stuff. Man, God, it's good. Let me tell y'all about something. I know it. I'm all.
Now
I don't
have it like that.
Hey. Hey, it ain't, you know, you just got to be Prime to have it now. You can get it, whatever. I'm just saying, it's good stuff, Doc.
Wow.
Yeah, bless his name.
That's good stuff.
Yeah, yes, sir. Let me go and get this. Where is that Amazon box at? Yeah, right there. That is right there. Right there. Amazon box. Mm-hmm. See, because you just type in your zip code,
okay,
close to where you are, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, wherever you, or where you're gonna be that day, and you can have it shipped.
I didn't know that.
Wherever. Yeah.
I did not know that.
Yeah. Bless his name. Bless his name. Yeah. Look at that. Look at God. Look at God. That's right there. So let's go and get that. Place your order. $24.95. Done. Out of there. So anyway, look, y'all. It's I know they said, did he just order that book online? Yes, he did. Just ordered. Done.
We got 3 minutes.
We got 3 minutes. So, man, real quick, if you're on the west side, Chicago, south side Chicago, come on out to the picnic tomorrow. The Kingdom Baptist Church, man, we got our picnic tomorrow. Let me read the thing so I can say the words right. I don't want to get in trouble.
KBC.
Man, let me get it out there. She just put it up there a minute ago, and now I can't find it. The Kingdom Baptist Church. Here it is right here, y'all. Here it is. Kingdom Baptist Church, faith, fellowship, food, and fun. Tomorrow at Sunset Bridge Meadow Picnic Grove, 8338 North Avenue, River Grove, Illinois. Man, we got some good food, gonna have some good music, gonna have some good games. And look, if you're coming, bring your card table, bring your domino. They're gonna be playing spades, they're gonna be playing bid. I know y'all saying ain't nothing sinful about playing card games. Ain't nobody gambling, so get over yourself. So they're gonna be playing dominoes. We're gonna have some. We playing Holy Ghost, we playing praise break musical chairs.
Oh, okay.
For some good prizes. We got some good prizes. So y'all need to come on out there. We're going to pray that God would withhold the water from the heavens tomorrow.
Yeah,
we're going to pray for that. We're going to pray that he would withhold that in the process. So we definitely want y'all to come out. Big shout out to my boy Kevin Page. His company, You Grill, We Grill, is doing the food for us.
Nice.
We just got to go pick up. We done picked up most of the meat. Got to go get the rest. And I got to go pick up 3,000 ears of corn or something when I leave here. So we, not 3,000, but y'all know what I'm saying. They didn't have the corn this morning when I went. They said it was on the way. So I got to go back.
Oh, my goodness.
I got to go pick up 75,000 ears of corn real quick.
That's a lot of corn.
Hey, man, corn on the grill ain't no punk, though. Yeah, that's some good stuff, boy. Slather it up with a little butter.
Bring out that sweetness.
Man, bring that and got to sprinkle me some salt on that bad boy. Yeah. What? You don't put no salt on the corn?
Some butter and pepper, black pepper.
No salt at all?
No.
It's time to go in. Man, you got to
If you use the salted butter, you don't need it.
No, you still need to give me a sprinkler. I need about two or three turns. Two or three. Y'all see me on here?
That's a lot of salt.
I need two or three turns of that good old that Morton sea salt.
Morton's,
That sea salt.
Good stuff.
That sea salt. Give me that rock sea. Give me about 2-3 turns of that.
The Morton sea salt is
good. And then give me 2-3 turns of that.
They got the one with the garlic in it, too.
And then give me 2-3 turns of that cracked black pepper. Slathered. Is that a word? Slathered. With some butter. Now, see, because it's a church picnic now, watch this now. because it's a church picnic, there will be no alcoholic beverages allowed. So I know some of y'all like to have a little glass or something with your drink, you know, with your stuff, you know, like if you was at home, you know, you'd have that. What's the one you like? The
sweet red.
That sweet.
The Roscato.
That
glass of Roscato.
Oh, with the Roscato. Okay, yeah, yeah. Wait, what's the other one?
If you're going a little bit bitter than that,
bitter.
Marlo.
That is.
Marlo wine.
Bam.
Yeah, yeah.
Fall out dead right there. It's time to go because you ain't been here because you're praying.
Sure. Lord, we thank you for just having us in the studio once again. Lord, we pray that those who have listened to the show, that they've grasped something that will help them.
Yes,
Lord, we thank you for the article, for the writer of that article. We ask that even those things that we've read, that they've heard,
yes,
might be a blessing to them. Lord, we pray and ask that you would continue to keep your hand of mercy and growth and promotion for this show itself.
Yes.
Not just here, but
yes.
I say, Lord, just continue to take it all around the globe.
Yes, sir.
And, Lord, send supporters to even expand it even the more.
Amen.
So, Lord, we thank you for the visionary. We thank you for the help,
mm-hmm.
the administrators,
that's right.
the producers.
Yes.
All those engineers,
everybody.
Sub-engineers, everybody,
everybody,
Lord, those
yes.
faithful listeners, thank
yes.
you. Lord, we just want to thank them for what they've done, their commitment to listening to us and following us. Bless them. Bless everyone. And we ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. So look here, y'all. Big things happening. Real quick, we're in the planning process, but I want to give you a little bit. We got this article. Let me find it real quick, and then I'm gonna move on, and then we gonna say bye. We got this really good article that was sent to us from our good friend, new friend of the show, Angela Johnson, and it's on the Huffington Post. It was literally written 3 days ago. 20 lessons I've learned since leaving the church. That's the name of the article. That's the title of the article. She sent it to me saying that we should use it for a discussion piece.
Okay.
Well, quite a few pastors jumped in and said, we want to discuss it too.
Wow.
And they want to use TTLO as the spot for it. Now, we may be broadcasting from a different location, but we're going to do that. And it might be 2 hours. Maybe we may use all 3 hours of our show that day.
Okay.
So we're tentatively trying to do it August the 15th. That's a Monday.
Oh, man, because I was going to
say,
if it turned out to be a
Friday or something,
like a Wednesday
yeah,
or something,
yeah.
you all can use the church. It has a bigger stage. You can get the people on
actually,
the stage.
Actually, Pastor Reggie Royal we're going to try to figure out.
Okay.
I need to get over there and see how I can hook up
because
I've never been in there, so there's a good chance for me to go over there. So that's going to be huge.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
we're looking to get – so we got people. We're trying to put this panel together. I'm about to place a call out to my good buddy, Dr. Juro M. Dew, to see if he would like to sit on the – Yeah, because, you know, I know you're working, so
that's
I know you probably won't be available
unless
something comes up.
I'll put the date in,
but
yeah.
put it in and see what's available. But I'll give you guys more detail as soon as we have nailed it down of whether or not it's going to be here, because we got the room, but I want that setting, I want that round table discussion setting, and then we can do that better. I think Pastor Royal's church, based off the technology that I've seen them use, is capable for us to be able to broadcast. Because if I can just grab this piece and these two pieces, because my whole concern would be hearing. There, you know, because we need headphones or if they can set up some kind of small floor monitors, then that's wonderful.
Yeah.
So we can get around not having these if we can do that.
Okay.
So I'm just thinking ahead.
Yeah.
But we're going to get it together. But I wanted to give y'all just a little insight. That's something that's going to happen big. That's going to be huge if we get that one off. Because, man, because this is a real discussion. Why people are leaving the church. And she broke down some pretty good things out of her 20. At least 15 of them was right on the head. And it's stuff that you and I have already talked about on the show. So it's real good. It's real
wow.
good. But look at y'all. We're going to get out of here. Once again, that picnic is tomorrow at the – where is it at? It's at the Sunset Bridge Meadow Picnic Grove. That's North Avenue. If you're going west, that's – if you're going west on North Avenue, that's right before First Avenue. That huge, huge picnic grove on the right-hand side of the street across from the old Menards.
Mm-hmm.
Right there. So you can see all of that. So it's right there. If you're coming east, if you're going east on North Avenue, then you need to come through First Avenue. And at the stoplight, the very next light at North Avenue, you can make a left turn and turn into the Grove. If you're going north on First, If you're coming from First Avenue, if you're going north on First Avenue, you can make a turn, right? That make that left turn and then make a quick right turn, and you'll be right there. If you're going south on North Avenue, you want to turn and you can do all that good stuff. So that's how you get there. I'm looking forward to seeing y'all, and I won't know if anybody want to come sit at the spade table because y'all don't want none. Y'all don't want none.
If I come, I'm looking for the domino table.
The domino table. Hey, wait, we're going at Uno. We playing Uno. We playing everything. We playing anything. And we, yeah, now let me help y'all. It's going to be some gospel music played, but it's also going to be some picnic music played. Now let me hang up. Let me get off the air. All right. Y'all stay blessed. I mean, you know, somebody might play these last $2. I mean, I don't know what you might. You might put your last $2 in church. Hell, I don't.
Let me stop.
It's time to go. Y'all stay blessed, man. We out of here, and I'm going to give y'all a little bit of
We going to play some dodgeball out there?
We got football. We got dodgeball. I should have seen if I can find the flag football stuff. Cause it's Now, y'all old. Don't get out there tearing your hamstrings up because, you know.
Yeah, they are. Look, I've been in training for the last 3 weeks running 6 flights of stairs. If you can't tell, I've lost a lot of weight.
Right.
I'm ready.
You ready?
I'm ready.
Okay.
Let's do this.
Gotcha.
Some people got to come out of retirement.
You got your pump.
Yeah, pump me up. Joe Budden.
Pump it up. Okay. I'm done. I can't even do it no more. Look here, we out here. We're going to leave y'all with this Bishop Larry Donnell Trotter. He is wonderful. Come on, somebody.
Tell somebody he is wonderful. Now put your preaching voice on. Say he is wonderful. There are a lot of things I could not do for myself, but he did them for me. Tell somebody he is wonderful. I brought my own shout with me. I just thought about it. I dare you to think about how wonderful he is. Isaiah said his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God. Look at somebody, say the Everlasting Father. Somebody just holler wonderful. I told y'all that was the word of the year. Look to your right and your left, say wonderful. May your week be wonderful. May the rest of your year be wonderful. May your whole life be. I don't mean to push this point, but is there anybody that has proven himself to be wonderful? Just go to about 3 people and say, he is wonderful. through.